At this time, I'd like to call the work session to order. And today's topic is the budget. We've been given a brief slide presentation, which I assume Jean's going to go over.
I am.
Okay, hit it then.
Thank you. I know I say this every year when we come to this particular work session, but it seems like we just finished the last budget. So tonight we're going to go over the 23 and 24 budget, because as you remember, 22 is the last year of our two-year budget. And so now we're looking forward to 23 and 24. After we finish reviewing the budget, we're going to go over some information in the long-term plan. Matt, can I control the, thank you. All right, so we have the 23-24 budget update, 23-24 property tax update, overview of the general fund, and then, you know, walking through the long-term plan itself. Okay, in 2023, at this current point in time, we are looking at a proposed levy increase of 11.12%. When we start breaking that down, we have the committed 1% levy increase to park capital. And then for 2022, we had started the 1% levy increase dedicated to street capital. We have a loss of $465,000 for local government aid, not the 425 it indicates here. That two should be a six. And that, if you remember, if you recall, in 2022, we were kind of grandfathered for not losing the aid. Well, when the 2023 certified aid amounts came out, it does reflect a loss of $465,000. Now, as we're working through the overall budget process, one of the things that we did is we took that local government aid loss and split it in half. We did half the impact to the general fund and half the impact to capital. We knew that, you know, this year we were looking at a, you know, bit higher proposed property tax levy increase. And so we're trying to reduce that impact a bit. Now, if you recall, we had the ARPA dollars, or the American Rescue Plan Act dollars, in the approximate amount of $2.2 million. As we get into the long-term plan, you'll see that we've dedicated the entire $2.2 million to the police building. And we can get into discussion about that later, whether you agree with that or not. But for right now, that is what we're proposing. Earlier, a few months ago, you had saw the West Metro budget, and they had an increase of $115,000. And then we do have a police department staffing increase of $200,000. When we get into the general fund details, I'll explain a bit more about that as well. Workers' compensation and insurance premiums, we are anticipating a rather large increase in both those areas. Health insurance, the early predictors on that indicates a 13% increase. At this point, there hasn't been a decision as to what that sharing is between the city and the city staff. However, that increase will be determined as we go through the rest of the contract negotiations. Cost of living increase. We do anticipate that needs to be higher than in past years. If you look at the various union contracts that are currently out there, they are lower than neighboring cities. And the general market overall has really seen an increase in wages, not just for the union employees, but also for non-union employees. The other increase, as we're all feeling the impact personally as well, is with fuel increases. Diesel prices have increased about 50% and regular gas about 27%. Right now, the union contracts are all still open, so we have a lot of unknown factors there. And we are also going through the utility rate study at this point. That information will be brought back to you in October to go through the new analysis on utilities. If we look at the 2024 budget, again, the property tax increase for both 23 and 24 is about the same. 24 is estimated or being proposed at 11.59%. Utilities is requesting a staffing increase, but that does not impact the general fund. that will be incorporated along with the utility rate study in order to accommodate, you know, that particular request. And that's for all the meter replacements and repairs that need to, maintenance and replacements they have to do. 2024 is also impacted with elections because there are three elections in 2024. The other indicator that we're looking at is that there is going to be more of a market value shift from the commercial to residential properties. So we do need to consider that impact in 2024 as well. All of the capital levy increases, the 1% for streets, 1% for parks, et cetera, all of those remain in place with the proposed 2024 budget. Again, we anticipate both workers' comp, regular municipal levy, liability insurance and regular insurance, as well as health insurance premiums. We anticipate all of those to increase again in 2024. Here's an overview of what we're looking at for property taxes. If we look at the 2022 adopted budget compared to the 2023 proposed budget, we have about a $1.3 million increase. That equals about 10.92 of the overall increase. If we look at capital improvements, we have a 2% increase in the police equipment revolving fund, and then a 1% overall levy increase for park improvement and street construction. If you just look at the overall percentages, those look, you know, very different because we're comparing one year over the other for the percent increase there. EDA, we have a 2% increase there, and that equals $6,200. So in the end, there's an 11.12% proposed increase. The same scenario continues on in 2024 with all of the agreed upon levy increases for parks and capital continuing, as well as the 2% for EDA as well. It's always good to walk through where are these increases coming from. So if we look at the overall levy increase of 11.12%, operations is consuming 9.97%, capital about 9.2%, and EDA about 2.23%. And that's on the overall increase. I mentioned before there was a local government aid loss of $232,000. We are having a reduction in licenses and permits. Charges for services, an increase in licenses and permits, but a decrease in charges for services. With fines and forfeits, we're also seeing a decrease of about $88,500. And when we look at fines and forfeits, that's primarily when we look historically. Where are we at with those fines and forfeits? And it's getting the budget in alignment. We have, you know, administrative transfers. We are seeing an increase in administrative transfers. And essentially that is the services that employees that are paid for out of the general fund that they provide for other funds. For instance, with that would be like human resources. They provide, you know, human resource activities for all of our enterprise or our utility funds as well. And so if you go down the line of employees that are paid out of the general fund, there are specific allocations that we went through with a fine-tooth comb this year just to make certain that we are allocating everything appropriately. Wages and benefits for existing staff, there's about a $900,000 increase. The police department has requested a crime analyst, and with wages and benefits there, it's about $139,000. We did add an additional amount to the contingency fund or to the contingency area within the mayor and council departments. And then we have some smaller increases. However, when we get down to the police department again, we have the social worker, cornerstone, fuel increases of about $54,000. Fire is showing a $104,000 increase, but there's a couple other components that go into that. So it isn't showing the total increase of $115,000 that was requested. This is just kind of taking the net numbers. And internal service fund transfers. As we went through the long-term plan, Another area that we analyzed very, very thoroughly were the internal service fund transfers. And because the property tax levy increase originally was a lot higher than what we're presenting to you at the 11%, we went through the long-term plan to ensure that the projects could be substantiated out through the 10 years. We're never going to end up with a negative cash balance. And so we were able to reduce on a temporary basis the amount of internal service fund transfers to try to reduce the property tax levy increase. Another change that we made is that the city utility charges, where there's utility charges for, say, parks, you know, things of that nature, we took all of those charges as well as the insurance costs, and we put that into an internal service fund, and we were just allocating the cost back. It's an easier mechanism to track for accounting purposes and easier to control what those overall dollar amounts look like. And then there are just general inflationary increases of about almost 38,000. And that brings you to your 11.12%. Questions on that?
Nancy.
Oh, sorry. Can you explain what the mayor and council contingency and dues subscriptions are? That seems really high to me.
And it is high, and it's intentionally high. And the reason that it's intentionally high is because there's a lot of additional unknown factors that we have not been able to specifically account for yet, and we don't want the budget to be cut short. And did you want to add some additional commentary on that?
Yep, thank you. We also, that's where we have additional money parked for wages. If you'll recall, we have one outstanding labor contract for 21-22 that we went to arbitration on, and we are awaiting the award. So depending on what the arbitrator awards, we know that that will increase the cost for 21 and 22, but that will trend into obviously drive the costs up in 23 and 24. So until we have that award, we parked additional money in the council contingency. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So what's the difference between that and existing staff wage and benefit increase?
Wages and benefits of existing staff is what we know today with the staff and the any settled contracts.
So that's not COLA or anything like that?
It does include COLA.
It does?
Yep.
At what rate?
Well, we know we have the settlement with 49 at 3.25, but that also includes market. For those employees who earn merit, M words, they confuse me, merit. We have a lot of employees who earn merit as well as cost of living increases. And then that includes health insurance, other benefits as well.
And it doesn't include any, we don't have anything included here for bringing wages up where they are comparable.
Correct. We're anticipating that we'll have to be making some market adjustments as well for certain positions. Correct.
So three components to the increases: market, merit, and COLA.
Correct.
Do we have a place in here where market is included or not?
That's part of the mayor and council contingency.
Okay.
Yep.
That clears that up.
Yep. Thank you for asking that.
Cool. Any other questions? Any other questions?
And can I address Councilmember LaRoche's question? Historically, the mayor and council contingency, we also had a lump of money in there to help rebuild the fund balance because we're a little bit below our 45%, our internal policy. But I think it's safe to say in 23 it will go towards wage adjustments of some sort.
So we're at about 40 right now. Is that correct? This year, the contingency, it's about 40. So we dropped again.
No, the fund balance. You're talking about fund balance.
But the fund balance reserve.
I missed what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Right. If there's anything left in the contingency, it'll be kept within the general fund to try to increase the general fund reserve to get it closer to the 45% reserve that we want to have.
So we drew that down again this year.
We have historically just because of the capital plan, but capital expenditures over the last couple of years.
Okay. Other questions?
Okay. If there's no other questions, I'd like to review the 2024 levy increase breakdown as well. So I tried to keep this in the same format as what it was for 2023. And we do not anticipate an additional local governmental aid loss. I wanted to be sure to bring that forward. Then we have, you know, licenses and permits, charges for services, administrative transfers, they will increase again. And if we look at the overall wage and benefits for existing staff, that has an increase of about $685,000. The other increases are pretty minimal. The fire increase, we're just estimating that at this point at about $185,000. And as you go further down the line, there some of the increases are very minimal. However, when you get to the internal service fund transfer, that's where you see that we had a decrease in for 2023. But we're essentially making up for that in 2024 to try to, well, first off, with the proposed property tax increases, trying to keep them steady, and also to be able to accommodate the capital needs that are set out in the long-term plan. Any questions for 2024?
Go ahead, Nancy.
Just a question. When you mentioned earlier, there are three elections. Mm-hmm. Can you explain? I know, is it primary, general?
And then the presidential primary March. In March.
Oh my gosh, I forgot about that. Okay, thank you.
We all like to.
So new.
But sadly, we have to do it.
Yeah.
All right. Any observations from the council as you went through this and you read through this at home? Anything strike you guys?
It's high.
Yeah, the big high. Increase in property taxes 2 years in a row.
Yeah,
that struck me.
Yep,
for sure.
Yeah, well, that's the one I wasn't thinking of. No, that's fine. I mean, me too. But I just, as we look at the details,
David, what struck me was the American Recovery Act, that $2.2 million. I thought, and we can maybe talk about that when we can talk more general fund. I have questions about that, but that bounced out to me.
Okay.
Nothing. Sure. Well, I look like about $169 levy increase per household. So, I mean, that's what I came up with. But we're in the beginning, so we got plenty of time here to
okay
work through it.
Yeah, I mean, the double digit was, of course, struck me. I'm going to go over a couple of things that struck me. Last time we had a LGA loss, I think it was before your time and my time both, if I recall right. And we pretty much had, that's where parks kind of got gutted, didn't it?
Capital totally got gutted, took it.
Yeah, capital took it there.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And that's the route we went. And we not meaning us at this table, but we as a city. And we didn't go the route of increasing taxes to make up for that. Just an observation. It's a difference.
Well, and part of, if I can interrupt.
Sure, no, go ahead.
Part of it, I was sadly, yes, the local government aid, a lot of the hit happened after the budget was adopted. So in 1 year, the hit came in capital because that was where we could do it. And then, how did that work? I think that because it came late in this year, that affected the next year's budget as well. I can't quite remember, but you're right. Capital took a lot of the hit.
Okay.
And we also made some, I think, one-time adjustments to staff with some incentives. If I'm mixing up my budget cycles, but I think we made one-time adjustments to staff with some buyout options.
Okay.
Because we had a very different makeup of staff at that point in terms of tenure in the city.
I wasn't aware of that. Okay. All right. That was one. just a general, I'm going to share with you kind of my perception as to what I was really hoping for. You've heard me say before that we're looking at some increased inflation. We need to really tighten our belts moving into this year. And here we are, and inflation is just, it's quite high. My opinion is 9% is the metric they use now is not the same metric they used in the 79-80 period of time. So if you're comparing apples to apples, we're looking at more like 17-18%. And I believe that number very, very much so, because when we look at our expenses, we're seeing some even more dramatic increases, especially in fuel and food and all kinds of things. So again, you've heard me talk about, well, basically, John, you and my differences, you know, is it from a city perspective or is it from a citizen perspective? Citizens are being squeezed hard. And I think they're feeling more than what the numbers are showing us. So I guess my commentary in the past has been, we got to do everything we can to keep this down because we're just going to add more pressure. So not comfortable with the number. I think it's something that that we have to deal with in this budgetary cycle. And we don't have to get into all the minutia today, but I do want to have some conversation, open conversation, that we're hearing each other. You know what I mean? Go ahead, Nancy.
Just a quick question. I looked through the spreadsheets with my magnifying glass. Sorry, I'm getting old. But is the pool accounted for in these next 2 years? Because that's $3.5 million, and I didn't see that number anywhere in any of the spreadsheets in the Park and Rec, unless I missed it.
I believe it is in there, but it's not named the pool because of the direction of the council to do the master plan. I think we renamed it Grogan just as a placeholder until you know what you want to do with it.
Okay.
But it should be in there.
Okay, I was looking.
I verified it. I could.
If you find it, please show me. It
is in the park improvement, or it is in the long-term plan. Okay. Matt, could you pull up the long-term plan, and I can pull that up.
Was it page 32 or 33?
Page 60.
Page 60, thank you.
That's in the building fund.
There it is.
Grogan Park improvements on the very last one on page 60.
Thank you.
And you will know if there's an additional pool on 62.
On 62?
On page 60 as well.
Okay.
62.
Yeah, you said 60.
Sorry.
Like right next to each other.
Well, I mean, same thing.
Yeah.
Oh, I see it. Thanks, Mark.
Other comments, questions? On the fire, when we get into fire budget, we see the percentage in relationship to our budget when we have the presentation that I'd like to see compared with in the 2 years. Can we do that?
Okay.
It's just a number I'm
okay.
very yep. curious with. I don't want to do armchair math. I need that.
Yep. All right. Thank you.
Okay, I think I'll save the rest. Go ahead.
Are there any other questions on the budget? If not, I'll kind of review some components of the long-term plan and how the budget interrelates with that.
Go ahead. Well, I was kind of, my one question was when I saw the rescue plan. Let's see. Maybe you'll touch on that. But I was kind of wondering, you know, for the American Rescue Plan, 2.2 million. To the police station, then where does that kind of go from somewhere else in the budget? Does that
make sense? Okay. The American Rescue Plan Act dollars go into the building internal service fund. And when you look in the long-term plan and you go, it's pretty much towards the back. Actually, on page 60, 62, you'll find the building fund. And within there, we will have the police department building. Now, the stipulations with the American Rescue Plan dollars is that they can be used for, okay, what they cannot be used for is replenishing the general fund, replenishing reserves, things of that nature. What they can be used for is lost revenue. They could be used for specific capital improvements in which the police department facility qualifies for that. Now, those $2.2 million could be allocated against something else, as long as it, you know, qualifies under the parameters as what it can be spent for. The reason that we put it in the building fund, and you could say it's going for, you know, a multitude of different capital projects within the building fund. However, you do need to specifically designate what those dollars are going to be used for. And since the police department's facility qualifies and it's such a large expense, that's what we were just gearing that towards.
I would add that it helps some of our other capital get reimbursed quicker as well.
That's what I was kind of wondering is how it would help us right.
because
everything else.
We have those loans.
Okay. Out there,
loans. The other point that I would like to note is that when you look at the internal loan, we were able to reduce that amount and remove a lot of the various funds that we had originally anticipated having to borrow from. And so that also helped the capital needs and helped the long-term plan fall in alignment. So for instance, we originally had over 10 million or so that was considered to be an internal loan. And we had a couple additional funds that we were borrowing money from. And now we have been able to reduce that by several million.
Awesome.
A little bit more conversation on capital. You know, your summary here with the three lines, operations, capital, EDA. We have a number that says 9.2. That was something that kind of struck me. We are designating 1% for parks, 1% for streets. And then we have, of course, the EDA, not the EDA, the LGA bit of
232 to the general fund.
Which is approximately 10%. Anyway, so we kind of net out there. That's reflecting both of those numbers, correct? That's kind of a net number.
Correct.
Okay. And then I looked at 24 in the same way. And we're still doing the 2%, one for each of those categories. I don't know if I didn't have time or I couldn't find what was bringing that number down off of the 2%. In 24.
It's just looking at the overall dollar increase and then looking at the overall dollar increase compared to the overall dollar increase based on the capital that's being added. And so the percentages are going to look different than what it would, you know, it's not going to say, you know, 1% for streets, 1% that way, because you're just looking at the overall increase.
Cumulatively. So are we seeing decrease in other areas? I'm guessing.
There have been decreases in other areas as far as spending is concerned.
Okay. A little bit behind the curtain stuff. Stuff that, you know, it just doesn't come to mind. That's what I mean by behind the curtain. I don't mean to be derogatory. Sorry. Okay. Anybody else? Now, are we looking for some kind of guidance today?
I mean, it would be helpful.
That's
but remember, I do want to remind you, this is a preliminary levy. So we'd like to keep our options open to the extent you think taxpayers can take it so that we have more wiggle room through now till the end of the year, because we'll have our budget preliminary levy on September 6th, right?
Not when we Correct. Have,
the council will consider that.
All of us talked about this at National or United, we talked about the cost of government, correct? Yes?
I did send those talking points.
You did send those talking points with me, right? Yeah.
No, I did not.
Just you.
But yes, so discussion, feedback, whatever would be useful, helpful, encouraged, required.
Well, we did talk about the budget at the five parties that I went to. And generally, most people thought that the city was well run, and it was, they realized that the cost of government is expensive, but they also felt that they got good value from it as well. And they're very, and the big driver for that value is the new police station. So they know it costs, it's expensive, but they know that we needed one. And so they weren't really quite, how would you say, negative when it came to.
Did you share with them what was coming? Hey, what was proposed?
But the dollar amount?
Yeah.
I said, well, every year the levy has gone up. I did say that, but I didn't tell them the exact number. I mean, I didn't know the exact number at that time, you know.
Yeah,
but they didn't seem to have any heartburn about it. I mean, that was, you know, yeah, it was interesting, because usually I get, you know, complaints about, you know, their water bill or
something. Water bill was the last one that
went high. Right. Mm-hmm. That's usually kind of interesting that, you know, given the fact that, when they look at the value of their homes and what it's increased over the last 10 years, I mean, that you would think that, you know, property taxes would be one of the major things that they would bring up when they would be talking to me. So
our experience was quite a bit different. We went to some of the, we went to Calvert Chase, Kavanaugh, and especially Kavanaugh, we experienced conversations of, hey, can you intercede for us because of our rents? And a lot of us have seen that. It really, when we have these conversations, that's the person I'm thinking about, person with a fixed income. And it's a big deal, especially when you look at the fuel and you look at the food.
Sure.
Food hasn't even hit yet. We haven't even seen the result of this year's harvest and the pressures that are coming from it. But yet we've still seen the increases.
Well, I do think that there has been some changes in food prices, but it hasn't been in the actual dollar amount. It's been in terms of the container size. They've gone from like 16 to 13 ounce. I mean, so they've repackaged things in ways in which, you know, they're able to kind of hide that price increase. And I've noticed that
in toothpaste and
milk. Milk, for instance, milk, you know, they're starting to come out with these 13 ounce containers. So, you know, it's like, so they're kind of like,
the marketing is adapting to try to hide it, but
true.
It does exist.
It does exist. Yeah. There's no doubt about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Any more? It's a good conversation. Mm-hmm. It really is. Mm-hmm. All right, why don't we move on to the long-term plan, then we'll circle back a little bit. Maybe we can have some more questions come out along the way.
I have to get back to the beginning, sorry. All right, I just want to go over a few of the assumptions, and then we'll look at property taxes, cash balances, and then go over any of the individual plans that you would like me to walk through with you. We do have some various assumptions. Interest earnings have started to increase. So we did put those at 1%. I'm obviously not being very optimistic, but they do continue to increase. We have, you know, with the exception of 23 and 24, we have revenue growth and expenditure growth, both at 3%, just kind of accounting for an inflationary factor. The water and sewer, sanitary sewer funds, we're going off the old utility rate study at this point, but as I said, we do have a new one underway. The median home value growth, we have that at 0.49% because we do anticipate the market to turn around a bit. That's at 3%, excuse me. Population growth at 0.49%. Market value between 22 and 24, we're anticipating about a 3% growth, but then 25 through the end of the plan only at 1%. As we mentioned before, the overall property tax revenue, there were very specific direction for capital funds as far as what was going to be increased, and that's all been incorporated into the long-term plan. We continue to keep an eye on the police equipment revolving fund to ensure, you know, there's certain restrictions and limitations on that particular fund, so we continue to analyze that. We've talked about the internal loan due to the building fund, which we have been able to reduce quite a bit. And then all the loans will be repaid by 2032. So as we continue to look through this, one of the points to note is that the total outstanding debt right now at the end of 2021, it was at $11.1 million. So over the duration of this plan, we'll be down to about the debt per capita will fall from $445 to $10 per capita in 2032. Overall debt will be down to $275,000 in 2032. So as a reminder, the police department, not only did we allocate that $2.2 million of ARPA dollars, we also have $4 million of the state bonding bill that is also helping out with the police department. And let's see here. When we look at the overall property taxes, there's a lot of different numbers. And I know that when you're looking at this, it gets pretty small, but we did want to be able to share with you what we're anticipating between what 2021 actual was, the proposed amount, budget amount for 22, proposed for 23, 24, and the estimated amounts. And if you look at the percent levy increase in bold and the top third of the page, you'll see the various estimated amounts starting in 2025 are all at about 6%. If we look to, let me move that over so you can see it better on the screen. The next page here. All right, so if we look at the overall estimated market value, you know, the second to the bottom line on this on page 12 kind of shows how we are anticipating that to increase by, you know, 3% and then the 1% as we go out through 2032. Okay, so then if we look at the tax rates, this is really where I wanted to draw your attention. The 2022, the city tax rate was about 46.18. And then 2023, we haven't gotten really good numbers from the county yet. However, we anticipate it would go up to about 51.22. And then 2024 at 55.7. As we refine the budget, we refine, you know, everything that we're working on, these numbers, of course, will change. Cash balances is another area I wanted to draw your attention to. As we went through the plan, as you can see, when you look at each individualized fund, this is showing what we're estimating for the end of each year. And as you can see, the only one that is negative is the sewer fund under the business type enterprise funds, the second line down. However, that will be part of the overall utility rate study. And so we'll see what corrective action needs to be taken there. But otherwise, for all capital projects that are contained within the plan, we are anticipating a positive cash balance.
So have we been eroding what we've baked in for capital infrastructure in the utilities fund? Is it, and that's why we need to do this study, or?
No.
Why are we revisiting this?
Because the last rate study was for 5 years and that ends this year, right? For 23. No, it ends this year.
So we really don't know if we eroded any of that.
Right.
So we might have some fun next year at 9-2-9 again on utilities.
Bring it on.
All right.
I'd like to draw attention to this amazing podcast that Mayor did with the transparency blows up.
Yeah.
So maybe we should, so next year I'll bring along a little monitor so I can see if we can watch this video or listen to this podcast. Listen to the podcast here.
I actually did have that conversation. That came off. The conversation I said was just very frankly, look, the council was very transparent. And so it is all on for infrastructure. It is all on your property tax bill and utilities. I don't, one person literally asked me, what are you going to show up and ask for the special assessment? That's okay. That's perfect. So I'm not going to knock in your city in $10
next year. Yeah.
I'm also, we're not going to have, you know, franchise fees on your Excel bill, on your CenturyLink bill, on your, you know, CenterPoint bill, unlike all of our neighbors. And so once they got it, I think they got it. And I'm not going to say they were super happy, but at least they understood the context.
Right.
For when they see their utility bill and property tax, that at least it's here, and it's not every month, at least it's four locations.
Yeah, I mean, I had someone ask me the same thing, and it was, you know, we look at your utilities, and your utilities are way above your neighbors. And I said, well, that's not the whole story. So yeah, similar conversation.
Yeah, we've done that comparison, and we kind of fall in the middle. And I think it's important that, you know, when the conversation comes up, that you're able to at least address it and tell them that, yes, it is a concern. But in comparison to other cities, I think we have really good value. And I think once I got into that part of the conversation, talking to people, they realize that the reason why they live in Crystal is because of the value that they get living in Crystal. So,
well, I think that's one of the challenges that you all face right now. It's one of the reasons you see these changes is that we have staff deliver the services.
Yes.
Because it's lean, when we get hit hard, there's nowhere else. Like, it's unfortunately, it's back on the residents. That is the reality of our existence.
Yeah, and it's not just Mark's responsibility. You know, we
I understand that. Yeah.
I mean, no. Seriously, you know, I
certainly didn't go running from any of these parties. I mean, it's, you know, right. You know.
But, you know, we've had plenty of political dialogue where things have been said that weren't actually accurate. So, yeah, I mean, we got to own this. We got to understand it well enough to explain it.
Sure.
As opposed to weaponizing it. That makes sense.
And one of the parties was up the street was supposed to go out of the neighborhood up to the point of the lift station for the improvement to control. And I said, we did that, so that was sewage in your basement and your basement.
Yep.
And they're like, well, you know, right. So, you know, that is the daily impact we have. Or hopefully in sewage backups don't have.
Right.
One of the other points I just wanted to explain within the long-term plan, because it is a very large, you know, 82-page document. Yeah. And sometimes you're saying, oh my gosh, look at all these numbers. So I have the street capital plan up here right now. And I just wanted to kind of walk through and explain how all of this fits together. Because in this particular case, we have the first, well, as you're looking at it in a book layout, you have the first two pages, which is indicating what year is going area is going to either be replaced, repaired, utility reconstruction, whatever the case may be. And it's indicated, you know, it all flows out by year. So that continues because we also have on the next area, the 28 through, you know, 2032 information as well. After that, we have all of our totals at the bottom for each individualized year. And when we go down to the next area, you'll find that we have that everything broke out. So you'll be able to see by year the total cost that's going to be expent and how it's actually going to be paid for. At the bottom of the page then, we'll show exactly what the cash balance was. Say, for instance, at the end of 2021, it was 6.9 million. But then at the end of, at the beginning of 21, it was 6.9 million. So at the end of 21, it'll be 6.7 million. And that flows all the way out through, you know, 2032, as we continue to project out that additional 1% overall levy increase beginning in 2022. It allows you to continue to plan out to the future. And, you know, Mark's done an excellent job at, you know, programming out what it is that's necessary as we move to those further years out. I think it just helps to provide a bit of an explanation so it's easier to walk through the document itself.
Much easier to look at rather than have it's those long horizontal lines. Okay.
So, Mark, we get a certain amount of municipal state aid every year, correct? And then you basically in one lump sum then transfer it to the project. Is that how it works?
So basically, there's two sorts of state aid every year. The first one is maintenance dollars that goes into the fund of transfers in the. And then we do, intergovernmental revenue. We see is that $230,000.
That's fairly conservative, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
And then what we've done in the past, because of our street reconstruction program, we basically built up millions of dollars of IOUs. And because we only get for construction, we only get about $600,000 a year for construction from the state. So every, what we've done for 5 years, we do what's technically called a cash band. So we get the next year's 5 years allotment at once. But because we have so many IOUs, what we're really doing is collecting all of our past IOUs.
Okay.
So most cities use it to pay
for what
they're trying to do.
Yeah.
Because we have such a backlog, we're just clearing out the backlog to capture that money. So that's where you see this spike. I think in 2024, where it jumps up there.
So yep.
We're doing it in cash advance, but again, for the second time, to clear out the backlog of IOUs.
Okay.
Which they actually love us, by the way.
They what?
They love us for clearing out that long history because they're tracking longer.
Yeah, less administrative
paperwork. Exactly.
Yep. All right.
I don't have anything further. I just wanted to make certain that if there's any questions about specific projects or cash balances or funding sources, I'm happy to address those questions. I just didn't want to take all of your time going through all 82 pages of the documents.
So back on page 14, total city levy tax rate 48 in 2021, 46 in 2022. That is the last time we go down as opposed to going up. That number gets up pretty high in the long term. Will we actually experience that, or will that with the
that is subject to a lot of different factors.
That's just what the known factors today, correct?
Yeah. It's only with what's known today, and it's all based on projections. It's based on, what's the tax capacity going to be? You know, what's market value going to do in residential areas, a commercial, industrial? There's a lot of different factors on that. And John, would you mind speaking a little bit about the shift that I was mentioning over to residential?
Yeah.
That goes to a question I had too. How is that incorporated in here? So great, thank you.
So if you look at page 8 of the long-term plan, the assumed change in both tax capacity growth and estimated market value for the next several years, at least the next couple of years, is in line with the estimated expenditure growth and revenue growth at 3%. And then the estimated market value growth drops to a 1% factor after 2024. If the current trends in the housing market continue, it will be much higher than that in terms of residential property values. If that happens, this tax rate you see on pages 14 and 15 will not increase like that. The tax rate is assuming that residential property stops going up like it has for the last 10 years, basically. Is that a fair statement?
That's absolutely a fair statement.
And as far as the next year, which is what I think you were asking more specifically about, what we're seeing in the market is a very slight reduction in the growth rate. The county will have real numbers for us here in a couple months, sometime in the fall. But right now it's looking like residential values, while they are certainly not softening, but the curve is, the increase curve is bending a little bit, but not by much. So I think, Jody, you said last year it was a 13% roughly increase in residential property values. My best guess at this point, and this is really just a guess, is we'd be looking at something around 10, maybe, when the number comes in. So it's moderating very slightly. The residential prices are being driven by supply-demand issues. We just don't have enough housing supply. And until that changes, or something else happens in the economy, catastrophically perhaps, hopefully not, I don't know how the market will stop driving residential values up higher and faster.
So as we continue on with the, preparing the overall long-term plan, once we have new numbers from the county, these numbers and tax rates will also change. And if we can, get some additional economic predictors, we'll be able to modify what the percentage increases that should be forecast. So this is all, being extraordinarily conservative and, kind of looking at the worst case scenario at this point.
So just a little bit of recap. So if we're growing at a faster rate, that's going to actually help that number keep it down. So that's number one. Number two, I'd like to speak to the what's going to slow this down. I mean, already we've seen federal overlays in the finance market for commercial property, which includes a little bit of overlap into residential. That has tightened tremendously just in the last month, probably last 4 weeks. So that's one thing. If they extend some of those overlays into the residential market, that could be a real driver that kind of prevents that continued increase because of the availability of financing and having those tighter restrictions. We're starting to see, of course, that in the commercial, but not necessarily in the residential. So this is what I've observed in the last few weeks. Mm-hmm. Okay, other questions? All right, now we can have our fun conversation. So we need to have some guidance for staff. I'm guessing deer in the headlights looks aren't going to help them. Anybody want to talk about what they're thinking? In the past, we've sometimes said, this is the number we want to hit. we can do something like that. Or we can have a conversation as to why we think this is the number we should hit. And if it's a reduction from what staff is proposing, what do we want that to look? I mean, if we don't say it now, we don't say it. And then the staff goes, well, they just try to hit the number. So it's important for us not to just kind of button up and not bother. Okay. Not all at once. All right. So I'll start then. I do want to see a reduction of this number by quite a bit. And, you know, based on what we've talked about, it is for that fixed income person is the reason why I want to try to bring it down.
So when you say quite a bit, are you saying trying to get it under, you know, levy under 10% or what do you mean? What are you?
You know, I didn't have a solid number. I think coming in after looking at it, reading it without having conversation, I had a number in mind and I was at 6%.
Six?
Oh. Was. Yeah. So that again was walking in. You asked me for a number.
Sure.
There's the number.
Yep.
Doesn't mean I'm still there. I want to talk it through. I think we should talk it through. You know, when it comes to increases in positions, I don't think this is the time. I think if there's any place to bring that number down, I think we don't bring in new positions. I am more concerned about maintaining the pay level for the employees we have and hanging on to the employees we have and making sure that they're taken care of, especially in the area of market. You know, obviously there's COLA, obviously there's merit, but the market thing is something that I think, especially in public safety, is going to be a huge issue moving forward. There's other departments all around us that are just starving for people. And the way they're going to attract some people by increased wages. We haven't seen that. We haven't experienced that shortage in our police department yet, but I know it's coming. So it's important to me to make sure we're prepared for that. I know there's contracts that are not settled. And that really isn't a piece of the contracts, I think. So based on what's happening around us, I think we have a huge risk there.
Can we ask Stephanie or Chief Reverend to address that? No, staffing wise, are there people coming up towards retirement or?
I just had a sinking feeling when I was talking. Since the contracts aren't sold, we gotta be kind of careful.
Oh, all right.
But so carefully ask your question if you will.
What do you see as far as staffing in the next year or two? A lot of retirements coming up, for example.
Yeah, so I think at our last meeting, we discussed that there's some we're in the midst of hiring right now. We are seeing an upcoming retirement in the near future. I will just tell you that our staff is well aware of the increases that are going on next door to us, both to the east and west with regards to pay. They're aware of that. They know that they should be paid more. So I know that you can't talk about collective bargaining in a situation or setting like this, but just know that they're aware.
Okay.
I'll tell you that here when you say 6%, you know, I'll just say, and obviously I can say this, but I'll just say that is a little bit concerning just for the simple fact that I just for what you want, right, which is to pay your employees what they deserve to be paid.
Right.
I'm not sure that's one where it's going to get you that to be frank. And I completely understand the not wanting to add positions that I completely respect and understand. I will tell you as far as the mental health position, we may not have a choice in the matter as far as adding at least some additional dollars, because the city of New Hope Police Department is asking as well for a full-time mental health social worker. They most likely will get that, which means that our third that we split with these two cities will then turn into half. So either way, we're going to see some increase, but it may not be for the full-time. However, we will see some additional costs with that. As far as the other piece of the cornerstone of our domestic advocate, you know, we have seen an increase in our domestic assault numbers over the last several years. Our order of protections, the amount of time and energy that our advocate has to put into those is very significant. And unfortunately, because she only works for us on a part-time basis, it's really difficult for her to advocate for those victims that we've advocated for. And then you have the crime analyst piece, right, which is an actual city employee, right, which is the piece of this person would be doing a lot of research regarding our crime stats, our calls for service, the fact that, you know, you do both a use of force and race data collection, the fact that we don't have currently someone who's able to do crime mapping, or our officers out there who are working the street trying to catch criminals, trying to catch those people who are doing significant crime in our area that went on and on and on with seeing people that are doing it in our cities. This crime analyst person, he would be able to do that for us. If you were to sit here and ask me, and not that I'm recommending that you get rid of the crime analyst position, but if you were sitting here to ask me whether or not I would want to pair people or get a crime analyst person, I would tell you to pair people.
Just point of clarification, 6% I said with conditions, I mean, it's without full picture. So, you know, don't. Don't. It's probably not where we're at, but we'll see. Thank you for that. Go ahead.
I was just thinking about Ann's replacement too, as far as salaries go. Consulting fees, is that something that's in this budget as well, or included, or is that in part of our
the actual cost for the search firm will mm-hmm. come out of this year's budget?
It would. Yep. Perfect.
Okay, thank you. Just to comment on that,
mm-hmm.
The search amount is minuscule.
It's tiny. I was just curious mainly about salary.
I think the salary piece is the piece that's become material.
Right. That's what that's where I was going.
Because I think we're going to be experiencing a similar thing there.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that's going to be small. Yeah. Well.
Yep. Councilmember Parsons has a comment in the chat.
Yeah. So going. She says, in my 2 cents, I want the number to be at least in the single digits. People are absolutely choking right now at the cost of living increase. Many in Crystal live on fixed incomes and below the poverty levels as it is. So we have to be considerate of the situation. Just kind of a follow-up on that comment. When we look at percentage of income to rent and mortgage, we know that to be a big deal in Crystal. You know, when it comes to incomes versus what they're spending on housing. I think John, you have some of those numbers, and or you went over those numbers for us at one point. So. Any other comments, questions?
What about suspending the levy increases for park capital and streets capital? How was that?
Well, we kind of did that by wiping it out with LGA. I mean, there's a lot of ways you can look at it.
Yeah. Well, because that's part of it, the thing too, is, you know, I mean, how internally, how can we recover this number, I guess, because I mean, that's kind of, you know, kind of like the anchor on this budget from what I see. So
the anchor,
huh?
The anchor.
Yeah. It's kind of like, you know, kind of pulling us down a little bit. Right. You know,
I don't know. We spent 6 or 8 years trying to get down the budget and to pull it right off.
I know. Yeah. The mayor and I did have a conversation about this, and I really encourage you not to suspend the capital levies. That we spent 10 years starving the parks, which is why you had to increase you know, why you've got this commitment to 10 years of a 1% levy increase to try to recoup or to try to get back where we should have been.
Sure.
And we have the Parks Master Plan. So right. I'm leery of that. Also, I would.
It's an option, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's always an option. Good. We talked about it at senior staff. As Jean inferred or alluded to, when we first got the budget at senior staff, it was 20%.
Sure.
So you can imagine, talk about deer in the headlights. We're looking good today. I know not to you guys, right. but we are. But I really think you need to think seriously yeah. about that capital reduction, because relative to the overall increase, it's a tiny little amount.
Okay.
But I get it. I get it. Yeah. And I get to Councilmember Parsons' point. I get this is pinching for everyone.
I know. We're trying to squeeze in underneath that 10% mark. I understand. You know, there's going to have to be some.
Right. We're going to have to make some tough decisions.
We're going to have to suspend some things, right? So.
Correct.
Not necessarily that we disagree that on the actual number or, you know, the capacity to pay for it. But, you know, if we as a council feel that we're much more comfortable working with something in, you know, like the mid eights or whatever, there's going to have to be some hard choices right. made. So, absolutely. Yeah, most likely you're going to have to run on those vehicles a lot longer, guys. So anyway, so, you know, capital will probably be a 5-year cop car, hard to believe, right?
Well, it depends on which vehicles we're talking about. I mean, some of them are leased now, so.
Right.
That's
an operation. So it's not, I mean, not made light, but one of the challenges we literally can't get.
Mm-hmm. So we are going to have to extend those lines.
So one of the things that I don't even know how we plan for is if you're placing an order right now, I would tell you I would hope to get it in 2024.
Wow.
And so from a planning standpoint, it's really hard because that's the 2024 budget. Maybe, right? And so I think that's what it is. Don't want to leave the same day just because there is so much uncertainty there. I have no idea what to tell you. For not only only get one, but just parts too. So that's a level of uncertainty.
So on the operation side or the lease side, would we have an option of holding those longer?
So on the operations side, for the public, so we don't have a lease on the public works side.
I guess.
We're leasing, we're getting through the system that is working for us at least right now. We haven't been told, otherwise we're not getting any of our vehicle.
But the idea of that particular lease was to trade them in while they're still valuable.
Correct.
And have that credit.
And my
concern is, okay, if we're gonna have to have a more aged fleet for availability, and it does hit in the realm of our police vehicles, is that gonna run?
It's still good and stable. Their reason is gonna be better. Mm-hmm.
We're still good. So we're still good. Okay, whereas, yeah, that makes
sense. For us with the ownership, I mean, you know, for us to carry an extra year, to me, that's not the concern. It's
getting them.
How do you even plan?
So we might see a shift from capital to maintenance.
Yes. And even just the uncertainty. I don't even know what the price is going to be, because if you say, well, you want this truck, well, guess what? Now there's materials for a truck. Like, that was literally a conversation earlier today for a truck we already ordered. They canceled it.
Really?
And so now we're like, okay, we can't have a choice in that. And they're going to be more pricing because they've got all these deals surcharging for this, that, and the other. So I don't even know what that's going to come in for. So we got paid to see on
that. What does that look like on fire?
We have been able to order people for 2 years.
Wow.
So, yeah, we're stacking up.
So we're not actually getting delivery of any trucks.
We haven't even been able to order them on the contract because they only produce them at certain times of the year. There hasn't even been a possibility of ordering them.
Wow.
Like a pickup truck. You can't even buy one of them.
Crazy.
At all. We'll be on our carryover of the third one.
So do they tell you that there's only, so they tell you there's only a certain time that you can order these vehicles, right? And there's only a certain number of vehicles that are available. So it's kind of like first come, first serve, or is it, I mean.
Our experience has been that the manufacturers aren't even putting people over the same factor.
Correct.
So
they're not saying that they're going to run them at all because the retail market is
so much better
right now.
Yeah.
They don't want to stop that production to fit in those state contracts.
Oh, okay.
So we're basically one of the open market to three different vendors to get quotes. Or we took the state contracts. We went three different dealers to get the pricing.
So supply for police is still up. Are they going to make that decision too, that it's retails? So the open market is just too good.
We had the same issue trying to get the last batch of vehicles that we purchased. And I believe because we're leasing with the company that does high volume, they are probably higher on the pecking order of obtaining vehicles than the random dealership.
Huh. Interesting. But for the cop cars, they're coming from that vendor that's like up north someplace, right?
Not anymore.
Okay. All right. So they're getting them from all over the country. Great. So it's too bad there isn't something like that for you guys, right? That,
well, they're so custom. They're not.
Yeah, but I mean, if there was like, you know.
It doesn't make sense for us to turn them over.
Yeah, right.
They don't have enough miles. It's not like a smart car. They just run all the time.
Yeah.
Being part of the week, we can have 12 years. And we've been doing relatively well on the state auction as far as resale, especially the last couple of years.
But if you go, but your point, going out to three different vendors and trying to get the best price, you're still going to pay a premium.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. This is strictly to try to get a vehicle.
It's like 10 to 20.
Well, I'm not going to.
Yeah.
Okay.
How's it going, Mayor?
That's good. Can you believe I undersold it? You guys were looking at me like I was crazy, and don't say you didn't.
Wow.
All right. Other comments relating to a number? 2%?
Yeah, 2%. I think single digits seems like a good idea. For me, it would really help to kind of have, I don't know, it seems complicated, but kind of like a breakdown of maybe how you could get there in many ways, just to kind of see it, maybe a visual of that. Look kind of an overall picture. Does that kind of make sense? Because, you know, there could be many ways, you know, maybe.
Well, right. That was kind of the point of the conversation of wages.
Yeah. Have like a, you know, list of things that, you know, you could potentially
do. Do you have any preference you want to share?
I like the talk of, keeping who we have and maybe looking at putting off hiring new people. That seems palpable.
Okay. Anything else?
No, just kind of more information to kind of delve into it, to kind of see, because it's, you know, 11 is a big number, so kind of interesting to get another picture of it. Smaller.
Thank you, John.
Personally, I think it would be best if the police department could have this social worker advocate, you know, mental health advocate. We could hire that person full time, because that takes a lot of strain off of our police department. You know what they have to do. And my understanding is that when we were sharing this person was stretched so thin that, it's nice to be able to say you have that person, but having a direct impact on your police department is harder. So Yeah. You know, going to a halftime with Robbinsdale, I don't think is will help us at all. So
yeah, I don't think anybody's saying no. I think what we're saying is not now, not this year.
Well, I would like to see it,
but you know, like
this
like
year,
Chief said,
yeah,
she's proposing half. It could be halftime.
Yeah,
I don't think I'm gonna.
She prefer to pay her
people. Try to up it. You know, when we're trying to cut, that's going the wrong direction.
Also, I you know, Gene always gives us a very conservative budget, and like Ann said, they start out at 20%, and even still, we still have the conservative numbers here, and we're at a little over 11. So, hopefully, things look a little sunnier.
I hope you're right.
In the near future,
I hope so.
I'd just like to chime in. I agree with Olga too. I'd like to see the number in the single digits.
I think we're all in that camp.
Yeah.
You know, I think we're all in that camp, you know.
9.9. Right. At least we have some guidance now.
And would this be 9.0 for both years or just this first?
I'd focus on 23 if I was.
Agreed.
Let the new city manager worry about it.
No. 24.
Not a point, isn't it? Well, once we see more kind of where the market goes and all sorts of things. But I won't be here. You're right.
I don't know. I mean, the predictions for next year are just all over the board, all over the board. And, you know, if they do actually hit the residential market with new overlays like they did in 2008, then we're in a whole new ball game. So we'll see. All right, 9.0, 2023. Any last words, comments?
Oh, I have a question. Do we have an idea of what Hennepin County might be hitting us with Southwest overruns, light rail, and
at this point, I have not heard.
Okay, I didn't know if they were going to be put us on the hook for that for Hennepin County residents, but it was brought up in one of the news reports. I'm just a little concerned about Hennepin County when the property tax time comes.
Well, property tax, I think for residential is going to take a hit from moving from commercial to residential. So even if we were at 6%, we're going to get people coming in here screaming bloody murder.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Because of how much is being transferred. Because this was a dramatic year.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Just a very dramatic year. We thought last year was bad. Last year when we talked about this, we were starting to see a little bit of the effects. We weren't expecting to see the effects last year, if you remember our conversations. And we actually did see some. And now what we're going to see is the full effect of the market just screaming.
Yeah.
And it's going to be, do you agree with that, John?
Yeah, absolutely, Mayor. I mean, that trend that we've seen, again, since 2015,
mm-hmm.
There are some commercial sales that are kind of resetting those property values at a higher level, but there aren't that many of them in Crystal. And as far as the broader market across the whole county, I don't know if that's doing it. But I mean, residential is still taking a bigger and bigger share of the property tax burden because of those shifts in market value towards commercial. That trend is not, at least so far, there's no indication that that's changing.
Okay.
And it's beyond your control. It's hard to explain that to people, I think. But that is the reality. You could have a 0% levy increase and your homeowners will see their taxes go up.
Mm-hmm.
But now we know why Ann's actually leaving. Not really. All right. Last words, Olga, any last words?
No, my house was really loud, so I couldn't speak up. That's why I had to type, but yeah, I concur with the discussion.
Okay. Thank you. We're adjourned.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.